God, I will trust. United, I will stand with my brothers and sisters all over this land. I love the Lord of the U.S. of A. It's the land of the free, sweet liberty, and I'm not ashamed to say I'm an American Christian, born in the U.S. of A. An American Christian, born again by God's grace. I thank God for my country, where I can worship. An American Christian, loving my Jesus in the U.S. of A. Now this country was founded by a few godly men, and I, as a Christian, I have rights I'll defend. I love America, and I love Jesus too. Every night on my knees, ask the Lord, please, God bless the red, white, and blue. I'm an American, born in the U.S. of A. Born again by God's grace.
We're going to have a time to recognize our grads and present them with a very special gift from your church family. So if our grads would come forward at this time. In a few days, you guys are going to get a piece of paper that says that you're educated. Don't believe it. Your education has just begun. You've been given a foundation from which you can go a lot of different directions. My friends, a good head on your shoulders isn't much good without a good heart beating in your chest. And you can get all the right facts right in your brain, but if you don't have God's word in your heart, you can be an educated fool. Plenty of those around. So, as you go, let God's word be your guide. We've got you the MacArthur Study Bible. And this is when people talk about the study Bibles, I mean, this is perhaps the most popular one. It's a very great tool. It will help you. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes when I read the Bible, I read it and I stop and I think, what in the world did I just read? But this has got notes at the bottom from a very brilliant pastor. And it will help you to understand God's word so that you can apply it to your heart and put it into practice. Because that will be a foundation that no matter what storm comes your way, no matter what trial you face, that will be a foundation on which your life will stand. All right. We also got a little visor clip. For I know the plans I have for you. God's got great plans for each and every one of you. So Mackenzie has written in the front of these Bibles. Yeah, she didn't write any extra scripture, but she did write your name and the occasion in the front of the Bible in very nice calligraphy, and I thank her for doing that, because if I had done it, it would look like chicken scratch. All right. But Chris, congratulations.
Thank you.
This is, again, Christopher William Perkins. And his family, if y'all will stand up, we're glad y'all are here. We're going to talk about, you can be seated, Chris. Chris is going to be going to Savannah Tech, all right, to learn a trade. But he hasn't figured out which one he wants to do yet, and that's okay. Because a lot of people go to college and figure out what they want to do in the middle, and it's something totally different. And so that's okay. You don't have to have all your whole life figured out yet, but it's good that you're pursuing an education. All right. You got out of line. Y'all are whispering. This is like youth group all over again. But the next, here, I'll switch it so that I make sure I give you the one with the right name in the front. All right. Gracie Brianne Wade. Okay. And Gracie is going to be a veterinarian, which is great because we've got a stray cat problem in our neighborhood, and we could use a veterinarian's help, right? But Gracie, congratulations. Well done.
Thank you. Thank
you. Oh, sorry. I got to treat everybody the same. Y'all stand on up. All right, thank you, because you're next. All right. Allison Kimberlyn Cannon. I said it right?
Oh.
And you're going to be going to Kennesaw State University. That's the Owls? Is that the
Owls?
The Owls?
Yes, the Owls.
Yeah, so Owls are wise, but they also are birds of prey and vicious, and so watch out. Allison, congratulations. I wish you the best. I know nursing is a tremendous field. You get to really care for people and see them in difficult times and be there for them. And so I think you're going to do really well with that. And I'm glad that that I've gotten to get to know you over the past couple of years. Oh. Stand up, man. That's it. And we have Allison Dawn Dudley. This is Clayton and Kim's granddaughter. Clayton and, why did I say that? Clayton and Rhonda's granddaughter. Okay. Yeah, I just been talking to Kim, and I apologize to Rhonda, but you're graduating from South Effingham High School. You're going to be moving to Statesboro. Do you know what you're going to be studying? Okay, cool. Well, if Gracie can't fix the cat problem, then we will call you. But congratulations on job well done. Oh, yes, families, stand up, please. We're all working together here. This is a big old group effort. Well, y'all, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into God's word this evening. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you for these graduates. We thank you for their families. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we know that they have your word available to them, Lord. And God, I pray that they would hide your word in their hearts, Lord. I pray that they would cleanse their way by taking heed according to your word, Lord. I pray that they would know your truth, and your truth would make them free, Lord. I pray that they would have not just a full head, but a full heart as well. God, I thank you for these graduates and the hard work that they've put in to get where they're at, Lord. And I pray that they would continue to labor diligently to do and be all that you're calling them to do and be, to fulfill the plans that we know you have for them. And Lord, help us to be there right beside them all the way as their loving church family, praying them through whatever storms may come their way. Lord, bless us as we get into your word this evening. Teach us and feed us and guide us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about y'all, but when I was in school, the best thing was when the teacher would give me an example, right? When I had an example to look at, I could be able to figure out the other problems. We have examples in life. Sometimes we have good examples, and sometimes we have bad examples. I had an older brother who taught me a lot about what not to do, right? he wouldn't deny it. Jesus told a story about a young man who set a bad example. This young man was known as the prodigal son, right? It's in Luke chapter 15. Turn there if you will. And we're going to be starting in verse 11. And let's hear the story of this prodigal, this young man, this bad example. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need." Let's stop right there. I think from this bad example, as we continue through his story, we can see four principles that we can learn from this prodigal. And the first principle I think we need to learn is that we need to honor our parents. We need to honor our parents. Look back up at verse 11 and 12. The younger said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. In this culture, this was the epitome of disrespect, right? This young man was demanding his inheritance. Basically, he was saying, "The only reason I'm around here, Dad, is for the money I'm going to get when you kick the bucket. And you know what? I'm tired of waiting. Just give it to me now, and I'll get out of your hair. Tired of your house, tired of your rules, ready to go out and do my own thing. See you later." And friends, we have an epidemic of disrespect. There are so many people who just refuse to respect the authorities that God has placed over their lives, whether it be in their family, in their home, in their school, wherever it is. And this was where this young man started off on the wrong foot and completely disrespected his father. He did not honor his parents. Do you want to live long and prosper, graduates? Do you want to have a long life? Do you want to have a blessed life? Listen to what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 5 about honoring your father and mother. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you." Right? If we want God's blessing on our life, we need to honor our parents. And I don't know about y'all, but I didn't have perfect parents. Did y'all have perfect parents? It's hard sometimes, isn't it? It really is. But that's what God wants us to do. All right? He wants us to honor our parents, and He will bless that. He absolutely will. The accomplishment that you guys are getting ready to celebrate, you guys have put in 13 years of work, right, to get this diploma. Your parents have put in 18, right? None of us are where we are without the people who have poured in to our lives, the people who have encouraged us along the way, the people who have took extra time to care for us. And I hope that as you celebrate this accomplishment, I hope that you recognize those people. And I hope that you go up to them and give them a big old bear hug and just tell them thanks for all the time and energy and effort that you've poured into my life to help me get to where I am. I couldn't have done it without you. We need to honor. And not just your parents. Everybody who's prayed for you, who's poured into you along the way. I mean, we're all here to celebrate with you, because in a way, we see it as our kids. I mean, something that, they say it takes a village to raise a kid. But we see it as something that God has worked through us to help bring a blessing that God has worked through us to help bring into your life. So we need to honor our parents. When you go off to college, if you go off to college, or if you hang around even, stay in touch. Call your mom and dad. Don't just treat them like the piggy bank. Don't just call them when you need the money. Don't just visit to drop off your laundry. Honor your parents. I can tell you there are so many people in life whose parents have gone on to heaven who wish that they had that time back, who wish that they could go back and invest in that relationship. Don't be one of those people with regrets way down the road. Honor your parents. Principle number two. Don't squander your inheritance. Don't squander your inheritance. It says, "Not many days later, the young son gathered all he had," this is Luke 15:13, "and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need." You know, college campuses are a place where you are encouraged to indulge in every form of wickedness, is what it is, that's available. And you have to stand firm You have to make sure that you are spiritually prepared, or Satan, the roaring lion, will chew you up and spit you out. You're going to know people who are going to wind up maybe addicted to drugs, with a ton of college debt and no degree and nothing to show except some brain damage, right? Don't be one of those people. Don't squander everything that people have poured into you. You're going to be outside of the bounds of your parents' rules, and you're going to have to make decisions for yourself. But don't squander everything that everybody has poured into you. Don't throw it all away. It's not worth it. It's not. Don't squander your inheritance. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote the book 2 Timothy as his last letter. The end of it was, I've run my race, I've finished my course, I've fought the good fight of faith. But this is what he said nearing the end of that letter. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1, he says, understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins, led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Right? There are people with all kinds of degrees on their wall. Friends, sometimes the person with the most degrees on their wall is going to be encouraging you to do the stupidest things. They're going to be telling you, hey, forget about what mom and dad said. Why don't you expand your mind, right? And that's why they have a bunch of papers on their wall, but nothing really to show for their life. Because with all of their learning, they've never been able to arrive and a knowledge of the truth. But friends, I hope that you don't go down that path. I hope you don't even take one step down that path. But I know that we are going to fail. We are going to fall short. We are going to make dumb decisions and do things we wish we hadn't. So if you wander, this is principle number 3. If you wander, come back home again. Come back home again. Verse 15, it says, he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. You see, sometimes the hardest words in the English language to say is, I was wrong, right? Y'all know who I'm talking about, but they don't know who I'm talking about. But the hardest words to say, it's hard to say we're wrong. Like the prodigal son so much did not want to admit that he was wrong that he took a job feeding pigs that didn't even pay enough to feed him. The man was starving to death. And listen, he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. He went to his boss and said, boss, I know this slop is for the pigs, but you mind if I get a little mouthful? And you know what the boss said? You better not. That's for the pigs. See, sometimes we dig ourselves in deeper because we won't admit that we're wrong. Sometimes we choose to serve the cruel taskmaster of sin. And Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, I got a couple options for you. I can put you to work. I can get you to clean this whole building, even the bathroom, even the urinal, ladies, with a little toothbrush, right? Get down on your hands and knees. You can do that. Then after you're done, you can pay me $500 for that privilege. Or after the service is over, we'll just go down to the fellowship hall and eat cupcakes. Which would you rather do, right? It's like, no, duh. I would rather take the free gift than get the wages that puts me more in the hole. And yet, so often, we choose the wages of sin instead of receiving the free gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's where eternal life is found. It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. God sent His only begotten Son, because He loves you. While you were His enemy, He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I hope that you will receive that free gift and not continue to work for the wages of death. Continue to be a slave to sin. So, honor your parents. Don't squander your inheritance. If you wander, come back home again. And finally, celebrate with passion. Celebrate with passion. It says that while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before you I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. I think sometimes as Christians, we want to keep everything prim and proper, and we make ourselves so reserved that we feel like it's something incredible if we start clapping our hands in church, right? We don't celebrate with passion, right? We don't get excited about what we're doing. And I know some people don't do that anywhere, right? There are different personality types. Now, I'm not denying that. But if you want to see how people should worship, take them to a ball game. Right? Right? I mean, when those ball players start doing what they do, people start going all kinds of crazy. Right? Right? They get all excited and into it, and they don't mind lifting their hands. They don't mind singing out loud. They don't mind if they don't sound good. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's a seventh inning stretch. We're singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and if they don't like the way I sound, then they need to sing louder than me, right? We just don't care. But we hold all that in. But friends, you've accomplished something incredible. Celebrate it with passion. I mean, give people high fives, give people hugs, strut across that stage. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Because you only get to do it once, right? Some of those teachers, some of those friends, you know, you always tell yourself you're going to keep in touch. That's what everybody tells themselves, but you may not. So give them a hug like it's the last time. Go up to them and thank them and tell them all that you've been wanting to say. Really think about it. Spend some time thinking about who you want to celebrate with, how you want to celebrate, and own it. There was a Quaker missionary, and she said this, I shall pass this way but once. any good that I can do or any kindness I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. There's a Chris Tomlin song that I don't know if you guys remember this one, but he put out so many that this one kind of got swept under the rug. But it's called The Way I Was Made. And the chorus is, I want to live like there's no tomorrow. I want to dance like no one's around. You guys dance when no one's around? You really get into it when no one's around? No. I want to sing like nobody's listening before I lay my body down. I want to give like I have plenty. I want to love like I'm not afraid. I want to be the man I was meant to be. I want to be the way I was made. Enjoy. Enjoy celebrating this huge milestone, this accomplishment. And honor those who have helped you get there. And don't waste what everybody has poured into you. But friends, when you fall down, because it's going to happen, we all make mistakes, you got a loving church family right here. You got a church home you can come back to, and we're praying for you. And gonna miss you guys. And I'm gonna wrap this up before I start crying. But it's been a real privilege. It's been a real privilege to serve you. Let's pray. Precious Lord, I lift up these students to you as they get ready to start their lives, really, Lord, as they get ready to be what you've called them to be, Lord. I pray that they would remember all that you have done for them, all the people that you've put in their lives that have poured into them and cared for them. Lord, I pray that you would help them to make the most of every blessing you've given them. Lord, I pray that you would help them to remember that when this life knocks them down, that they can come back to their church home again. And Lord, I pray that you would help us all to really enjoy celebrating the accomplishment of these tremendous young people. Bless them, Lord. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like to come forward and when we have our closing song, if you would like to come forward and pray for these young people, I think that would be a tremendous encouragement for them to see their church family starting right now, standing with them in prayer. We're going to have our closing song, and then we'll go over and have refreshments in the fellowship hall afterwards. But we'll have our hymn of invitation at this time. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Thank you.